So over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to offer something of a homily series in anticipation of the 250th anniversary of the founding of our nation. So for 3 weeks, I'm going to touch on different themes this weekend related to our country, pain and healing. Next weekend, love of the Lord, love of country, sacrifice and reward. And then July 4th and 5th weekend, praise God for his gifts. And so again, this theme, pain and healing. I took this theme from the gospel today, where Jesus talks about secrets being revealed. He says, nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. And this calls to mind many instances in the Bible where the Lord, where God wants to reveal to us that nothing we do is not unseen. For example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So I'd like to look at three difficult secrets. So I figured I'd start off this homily series with difficult topics. So first, the secrets of our nation's past, so-called secrets. Second, the secrets of our own wounds. And third, the secrets of our sin. So secrets of our nation's past, of our wounds, and of our sin. So first, the secrets, so-called secrets of our nation's past. This past Friday, we had the federal holiday of Juneteenth. This is a recent federal holiday, though it is not a recent celebration. For those who do not know, Juneteenth commemorates in 1865, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, when the message of freedom from slavery was actualized in Texas. So it kind of like represents the farthest ends of the nation at that time. And those enslaved peoples were set free on June 19th, 1865. And so I'd like to bring that to this homily, the so-called secrets of our nation's past. And I bring this up because I believe the struggle with our past is still a challenge for Americans today. I preached a couple of weeks ago that in only 20 years, there's been a dive in a sense of patriotism among the youngest American citizens. 20 years ago, the majority of young Americans had a strong sense of patriotism, that is, grateful to be American. But in this day, just last year, that number has swung about 50 points. So not the majority, but few young Americans say that they were grateful to be American. And I think there are many more young Americans who say, no, maybe this nation isn't all it's cracked up to be, and perhaps some would say we should start over. All right. And I think a lot of that has to deal with the nation's, again, so-called secret past. I read an editorial this past week in the newspaper by Dr. Kay Whitehead, professor of African and African American Studies at Loyola University. She wrote an editorial, "No one understood what freedom meant more than those who had been enslaved." She writes, "The history of America is written in blood, civil strife, rebellion, resistance, treachery, and deception. It is also written in bravery, heroism, sacrifice, and slavery. The birth of America did not start with a bang or with a bullet. It started with a petition of redress of grievances. As America advanced from its early beginnings to its position as a world power, black people have contributed significantly. Yet, we have not always shared equally in its progress. Our struggles have included not just fighting for land and physical freedom, but also forcing this nation to fulfill its promises as outlined in our founding documents. And that is, most famously, in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." Dr. K continues, "We commit to these self-evident truths and have consistently shown our willingness to fight and die for them." And then she shares her experience as growing up as a black American, with the reality of our American history. She once heard her father say, "How can you face the truth of America and not be angry enough to want to burn it down?" To which her mother replied, "How do you burn down the house you live in?" And she continues, "For many Black Americans, this is the core experience, fighting to save a burning house while living in it." So why bring up America's painful past? This is uncomfortable. And some of us, when we face uncomfortable realities, we say, "Oh, I want to get away from that." But the reality of our faith is that we're invited to come face to face with the uncomfortable. That's why one of the hallmarks of a Catholic church is every single Catholic church you have a man hanging on a cross. Death is front and center. And so bringing this up, why bring up these secrets, so-called secrets? I believe, and a theme I'm going to share in this homily, is that God can do good from imperfect history, that God can bring grace where we have sinned, that God can bring healing where we have caused hurt. And also, just to be reminded that our past is what we are actually capable of. You know, that's why we go to Washington, D.C. every year for the March for Life. We bring the kids to that Holocaust Museum to show this is what humanity is capable of. At any time, we are capable of putting profits over people. At any time, we are capable of using laws to reinforce injustice. At any time, ordinary people can easily be complicit in unjust systems, but also just facing reality that the effects of past injustices can linger for many years after the facts. But also to bring this up, as we heard in the first reading, that God can save us. Jeremiah writes, "Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of the poor from the power of the wicked." That's the first secret. The second secret is the secret of our wounds. And for this, I call to mind a greeting from South Africa, from South African tribe, the Zulu, that whenever they would see a family or a loved one in distress, they would greet them with this saying, "I see you." And I bring this up because when we talk about wounds, the purpose of bringing that secret to the light is not to cause more pain or not to go over, you know, this thing that I thought I've gotten over. But there is power in being seen in your hurts and being loved. That's why I share with parishioners, if I haven't shared it yet, I have benefited from therapy. You know, 40 years ago, if a priest said that, people would be scandalized. I share that. I just restarted going to therapy. And it's not because I'm thinking of leaving the priesthood. I've just benefited from it. There's something to be seen in my struggles, to be heard, but to be known and loved. I bring this up on Father's Day weekend because something I've realized in my journey of therapy, but also hearing other people's hurts, many of us are wounded and many of us have father wounds. I've shared before, my opinion is that the father-child relationship has been the most difficult to get right in the family. And this is borne out by statistical data that for any single parent household in the United States at this time, the vast majority are mothers raising their children by themselves, and dad has left the picture. Perhaps some of you here are in that or have gone through that very painful reality. So the fact is, many of us have father wounds. Why is that? I don't know. Again, my personal opinion is that there was a time whenever the opinion was that there was a division in labor in the house, and that included also on the fact of being emotionally available to your children. And that perhaps many dads had the idea like, "Mom provides love, I provide the discipline. And I think the beauty, though, the challenge of many of us growing up, even if dad was present, he may have been emotionally distant. The beauty, though, is that there are many, many young dads today who are realizing my child doesn't just need my presence and discipline. My child also needs my affection and my love, which is why I pointed out many of our young dads here showing affection to their children. So, again, despite the challenge many of us have faced, the good news is that God is healing, and God is raising up new dads who are loving their children, not only by their physical presence, but by their emotional presence as well. And that calls to mind, right? The secret that Jesus talks about in the gospel is not just the secret of sin. Like, why would Jesus say to the apostles, he says, "What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light what you hear whispered, proclaim in the housetops." It's not just a secret of sin, it's a secret of the good news of God's love. And that's why there's power, especially dads, when you tell your love to your children. Yes, they know you love you, but there's power when you say it too, when you bring that secret to the light. Okay. So that's a secret of our wounds. I've just mentioned a book that I started reading in my therapy. It's called Make Sense of Your Story. In this book, the author, he's a trauma therapist, and what he talks about is there's such goodness whenever you look at your own story and invite God into that and experience God's love in that. So this is the book. I've just read the first 45 pages, but I'd say it's really good. And so I put a copy of the front of this book on the back, so at the end of Mass you can check it out. You can read it and benefit from it, and you don't have to pay hundreds of dollars for therapy, even though therapy would benefit you as well, perhaps. All right. Okay, that's the second secret. The third secret, yes, is the secret of our sins. As I mentioned, 1 Corinthians, other Bible verses that talk about our sins being revealed. Matthew chapter 12, 36, Jesus says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will render an account for every careless word they speak. By your words you will be acquitted. By your words you will be condemned." Fulton Sheen talks about the cross, the crucifix, as an autobiography. The crucifix as the autobiography. So Fulton Sheen said this: "Christ's flesh is the parchment, his blood is the ink, and the effects of every human sin are written upon him." Now, as I mentioned before, the Bible teaches that at Judgment Day, your sins will be revealed, all of them. Now, how will they be revealed? Certain theologians say there's going to be a book. And when you come to your Judgment Day, the book of your sins is going to be there, and they're going to go, "Okay, here are your sins." But as I just read from Fulton Sheen, what he suggests is that when you come to Judgment Day, you will stand before the Father's throne, and to his right will be the Son of God, the Son of the Father, Jesus Christ. And on his body will be written your sins. Fulton Sheen brings this up not as a point of shame and judgment first, but as a point of love. That this love is personal, and that he wants to personally save you from your sins. So again, that's the secret God wants to be revealed most of all, is his love that is stronger than death. The love that is stronger than our past. Love that is stronger than our worst imaginings. Okay. So which of these three secrets do you want to pray with in this Mass? Perhaps you want to pray for our nation, that she is worth praying for, that she is worth saving. We still have about 50 holy hours. I'm looking to sign up for our nation. So you can choose that as the secret to pray for. Or perhaps it's a secret of your own wounds. to pray that you may know His love, God's love, in a new way, even in your past. Like, God can bring love where you perhaps didn't grow up with the love you needed. Or perhaps you need to pray with the secret of your sins. Again, confession is the most beautiful way. You bring it to light. You come to confession not to be shamed, but to be loved. And as it's worth saying on Judgment Day, for the sins that I do not give to the Son of God, they very well might remain in my hands, and they might be a weight that drags me down. So there's hope. Confess, repent today to know the secret of His love. So we thank the Lord for loving us and our Lord for healing us. Amen.